The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting the latest vision news. Today's vision news is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. First up from Entertainment Weekly, All the Light We Cannot See star Aria Mia Liberti strolls Golden Globe's red carpet with guide dog. Miss Ingrid made her debut alongside Liberti, the star of the nominated Netflix drama. The Golden Globe's red carpet went to the dogs tonight thanks to All the Light We Cannot See star Aria Mia Liberti's the canine companion, Miss Ingrid. Liberti, who is legally blind, said she and her guide dog were making Globe's history. This is the first time there's been an actual guide dog for the blind on the carpet, she said. She also discussed the importance of the leading role she plays in the series, which is a Golden Globe nominee for Best Television Limited Series, Anthology Series, or Motion Picture Made for Television. This is the first time in history we've had authentic representation for a character in a film of this size, Liberti said. It was my honor to represent my community and my culture. It's never been done before, and that's a really big responsibility. In the show, based on Anthony Deor's, D-E-O-R-R, 2014 Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by the same name, Liberti plays a blind French girl who crosses paths with a German soldier played by Louis Hoffman, H-O-F-M-A-N-N. The show also stars Mark Ruffalo and Hugh Laurie. When the red carpet host asked if Miss Ingrid was enjoying the show, the dog's only response was a lifted snout and a tail wag, which Liberti interpreted as a solid yes. You can watch the whole doggone encounter at the video link. Related content, not really related, so I will skip that. From USAtoday.com, airlines damaged thousands of mobility aids last year. Here's how 30-plus flyers were affected. I fully expect my wheelchair to keep getting damaged, and it's a fairly significant source of stress for me when I fly, Heather Bennett, B-E-N-N-E-T-T, told USA Today. Bennett is one of thousands of wheelchair users whose devices were damaged while flying in 2023, and one of more than 30 disabled travelers who shared their personal stories of such damage with USA Today this year. According to the Department of Transportation, there were 8,637 reported mobility device damage incidents as of September, about 1.4% of the total number transported. Full year data for 2023 is expected in early 2024. For comparison, by the end of September 2022, airlines had reported 8,348 incidents of mobility device damage to the DOT. While the numbers for 2023 are slightly higher so far, airlines also carried almost 75,000 more mobility devices in 2023 compared to the previous year. Even so, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg told USA Today those numbers need to be brought way down. Any number greater than zero is not an acceptable number, he said. This not only affects your trip, it affects your life. Bennett agreed, saying not a lot of people realize it's not just the damage to the chair, it's the time in my life that I have to take to fix it that ended up being costly. Buttigieg and accessibility advocates want airlines to do better and are optimistic about regulatory changes being considered for 2024 that could help bring some improvement. Here's what we learned throughout 2023 and what may be in the hopper for the new year and beyond. What travelers told us in 2023. Nearly everyone who shared their story with USA Today at some point said some version of the phrase, "Breaking my wheelchair is like breaking my legs." Every traveler shared frustrations that airline employees seemed largely unconcerned with how to handle mobility devices, adding that airlines needed to boost employee training. Stephanie Gross, whose wheelchair was destroyed on an American Airlines flight just days before her wedding in July, confirmed to USA Today it still hasn't been fixed. I'm hoping for a Christmas miracle that it gets fixed by the end of the year. That would be really nice, but we're kind of running out of days, she said. Even with an expedited case, we're going on 5 months and counting in order to get me made whole and get that wheelchair repaired. Andrew Bogdanov, Bogdanov, a professional tennis player whose wheelchair was damaged multiple times in transit to tournaments, said he's happy it was replaced fairly quickly, but added that wheelchair damage and other problems with accessibility are far too common in air travel. It's inconsistent with travel, and that's a completely different issue from with my equipment and them taking care of that, he said. From airport to airport, or even flight to flight, disabled travelers are never sure what to expect and if their medically necessary equipment will arrive in working condition. Bogdanov said a set of national standards for handling mobility equipment could help travelers and aviation employees alike be better prepared for every trip. Alan T. Brown, director of new partner engagement at the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation, said his wheelchair was damaged on 2 recent trips and agreed that better training is key to improving accessibility in air travel. These guys that are handling luggage, they just want to get the plane out of there moving. They don't really care, he said. There's got to be somebody that can go down there and show them how to do it. And if you're not sure, ask. When Brown, who is a quadriplegic and has been using a wheelchair for 36 years, spoke to USA Today, he was waiting for a technician to come to evaluate his power chair for repair or replacement. It's the mental aggravation of the whole thing. I travel for work. I know I have to get on planes again. You're already thinking about the future, he said. I should be able to hop on a plane anytime I want. Changes the airlines and regulators introduced in 2023. Buttigieg said he's excited about projects around the country aimed at improving accessibility in airport terminals and is optimistic about regulatory updates that were introduced this year. The existing protection and enforcement around damage to wheelchairs isn't up to the magnitude of the problem, he said. We've launched the rulemaking to start ensuring safe accommodations for air travelers using wheelchairs that haven't happened before. But a judge also pointed out that a new rule was finalized that will eventually require accessible lavatories on most planes. It will take a while to implement, but it will be worth it, he said. Many airlines also announced improvements to accessibility in 2023, including Southwest announcing a customer accessibility advisory committee in October, joining other airlines that already had such bodies established. United Airlines announced it would install Braille placards on its aircraft and publish cargo hold door dimensions for all its planes online. Both independently and through our recent collaboration with the Department of Transportation, we are developing and delivering innovative solutions that provide accessibility and address some of the travel challenges encountered by customers who use wheelchairs, United spokesperson Charles Hobart said in a statement to USA Today. Embedding accessibility into every decision will propel us forward and is the right thing to do. American Airlines also announced several accessibility improvements this year, including a special wheelchair/scooter bag tag to help improve mobility device tracking through its system and alert ground crews to the specific handling needs of each device. We've placed a particular focus on giving our team members the tools and resources they need to properly handle and track customers' mobility aids, American Airlines spokesperson Amy Lawrence said in a statement. We recognize how important it is to support the independence of customers with disabilities as they travel and will continue to work hard to ensure a smooth experience for all of our customers. Delta Flight Products, a wholly owned subsidiary of Delta Airlines, demonstrated a concept for in-cabin securement of power chairs, which many advocates praised throughout the year. Although Delta has fully funded the project and continues to support Delta Flight Products as it seeks regulatory approval by the FAA, the company has not yet committed to putting the seats on board if they're approved. While we have long engaged in a variety of initiatives to increase air travel accessibility for customers with disabilities, our work in this important space is always evolving. We will continue to invest in technology and innovation to support our customers with disabilities, and we'll keep a keen eye on the progress of this first-of-its-kind airplane seat, a Delta spokesperson told USA Today in a statement. Michelle Irwin, founder and president of All Wheels Up, an advocacy group that focuses on in-cabin wheelchair securement, said it was exciting to see the concept receive so much attention. Nevertheless, she warned it's going to take a long time before it's available to travelers because the Federal Aviation Administration still has to approve the space product, as well as whatever securement mechanism is ultimately used with it. It's a very, very complex conversation, Irwin said. It's not happening in 2 years. What disabled travelers can expect in 2024. Major structural improvements to accessibility on airplanes are unlikely in the new year, but that doesn't mean nothing is happening. Buttigieg emphasized that new regulations are being considered, including a private right to action, which would allow disabled travelers to sue airlines that damage their devices for the first time. I think airlines would do a much better job and be more diligent if they faced a different economic incentive, he said. Irwin also noted that a lot is going on behind the scenes to help move accessibility in air travel along. I believe that the industry is putting their money where their mouth is. Entire departments are being created internally at some of these organizations to work on accessibility, she said. While it's slow, the good news is work is being done and traction is starting to happen. What advocates hope to see in the future. For most advocates, the key first step to improvement is better training for airline employees who handle mobility devices and interact with disabled passengers. Here's some of what different organizations are pushing for as we head into 2024. Better training and onboard accessibility. The people that are handling our bodies and our lives are people that don't know how to do it. If you don't strap us in the way you're supposed to strap us, if you don't carry us the way you're supposed to carry us, we can fall. Vincenzo Piscopo, president of the United Spinal Association. Going to the bathroom is just a basic human right, Piscopo added. The fact that it has not been a priority for the airline industry is the biggest example of ableism in the entire airline industry. For us, what that looks like is that people who are going to be assisting you prior to them stepping out to do the work, under the pressure of time to load an aircraft, that they receive training from someone who is familiar with how an aisle chair works, that they have some understanding of the needs of passengers with disabilities who need to use an aisle chair. This should happen in an environment where people can be trained and learn in a way that's safe. Heather Ansley, Chief Policy Officer at Paralyzed Veterans of America. Less focus on the financial barriers and more on disabled dignity. We focus way too much on the cost and the difficulty of making these changes. We need to really underscore the positive financial and economic impact that accessible business and leisure travel would mean. Kendra Davenport, president of Easter Seals. The advocates are all optimistic that the FAA reauthorization bill will be passed by Congress in the new year, and both the House and Senate versions of the bill contain sections that aim to make air travel more accessible. Timeline of incidents we reported in 2023. Zach Wichter is a travel reporter for USA Today based in New York. You can reach him at Z-W-I-C-H-T-E-R at usatoday.com. I believe that timeline is a chart that was not in the reader accessible version. The Foundation Fighting Blindness at fightingblindness.org has a progress report on their clinical trials pipeline. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is the world's leading private funding source for research to treat, prevent, and cure retinal degenerative diseases. Many of the trials listed below were made possible by Foundation support. There is a list of the therapies being studied. The sponsor has hot links and the progress of what phase these trials are in on the chart. Gene therapies, gene target. Achromatopsia, CNGB3. Sponsored by Mira, MEIRAGT little x/Janssen, JANSSEN. Progress, phase 1/2. Achromatopsia, CNGA3, Mira, GTX, Janssen, phase 1 and 2. Achromatopsia, CNGA3, Tübingen Hospital, TUBINGEN, phase 1 and 2. AMD dry with GA, CD59, sponsored by Janssen, JANSSEN, phase 2. AMD dry, GA, RORA, sponsored by Ocugen, OCUGEN, phase 1, 2. AMD dry, GA, CFH. Perceive bio, phase 1, 2. Batten disease, BATTEN. Gene CLN5, sponsored by Neurogene, phase 1 and 2. Choroideremia, REP1, sponsored by 4DMT, phase 1 and 2. LCA, GUCY2D, sponsored by Atsenza, ATSENA, phase 1 and 2. LCA and RP, gene RPE65, sponsored by Mera GTX and Janssen, phase 1 and 2. LCA, LCA5, and Lebercillin, LEBERCILLIN, sponsored by Opus Genetics, phase 1 and 2. RP, PDE6B, sponsored by Coave, COAVE, phase 1 and 2. RP, RLBP1, sponsored by Novartis, phase 1, 2. RP and LCA, NR2E3, sponsored by Ocugen, phase 1, 2. RP, RDCVF, sponsored by Sparing Vision, phase 1, 2. RP, PDE6A, sponsored by Tübingen Hospital, phase 1, 2. Retinoschisis, RS1, sponsored by Atsenna, phase 1, 2. Retinoschisis RS1, sponsored by NEI, phase 1, 2. Stargardt disease, RORA, sponsored by Ocugen, phase 1, 2. X-linked RP, RPGR, sponsored by Beacon, phase 2. X-linked RP, RPGR, sponsored by Mera GTX and Janssen, phase 3. X-linked RP, RPGR, sponsored by 4DMT, phase 1, 2. RNA, other mechanism, AMD dry GA, CB inhibitor, sponsored by Ionis, phase 2. LCA10, AON targeting, IVS26, sponsored by Thea, phase 2, 3. RP, PRP, F31, CNOT3, sponsored by PYC, phase 1, 2. RP, Usher, and others, optogenetic, sponsored by Bionic Sight, phase 1, 2. RP, Usher, and others, optogenetic, sponsored by GenSight, phase 1, 2. RP, Usher, and others, optogenetic, sponsored by Nanoscope, phase 2. Usher 2A, AON targeting, exon 13, sponsored by Thea, phase 2, 3. Stargardt disease, optogenetic, sponsored by Nanoscope, phase 2. Cell-based therapies, cell type and progress. AMD dry, GA, RPE, sponsored by Astellas, phase 1, 2. AMD dry, GA, RPE, sponsored by Lineage, phase 1, 2. AMD dry, GA, RPE, sponsored by Luxa, phase 1, 2. AMD dry, GA, RPE from iPSC, sponsored by EDI, phase 1, 2. AMD dry, GA, RPE on scaffold, region patch, REGEN, phase 1, 2. RP Usher, retinal progenitors, sponsored by JCYTE, JCYTE, phase 2B. RP, CD34+, stem cells, UC Davis, phase 1. Small molecules, AMD dry GA, deuterated vitamin A by Alkeus, phase 3. AMD dry GA, RBP4 inhibitor by Belite, B-E-L-I-T-E, Belite Bio, phase 3. RP, NAC antioxidant by Johns Hopkins, phase 3. RP methotrexate, by Aldeyra, A-L-D-E-Y-R-A, Phase 2. RP Small Molecule by Endogena, Phase 1-2. RP Small Molecule Photo Switch by Kiora, Phase 1-2. Stargardt Disease Deuterated Vitamin A by Alkeus, Phase 2. Stargardt Disease C5 Inhibitor by Astellas, Phase 2. Stargardt Disease Anti-RBP4 by Belite Bio, Phase 3. Stargardt Disease Metformin by EDI, Phase 1-2. Usher Syndrome NACA Antioxidant by Nacuity, NACUITY, Phase 1-2. Information updated quarterly, current as of January 2024. Some trials listed may have been paused and or the sponsors are seeking partners to continue their trials. To learn more about all the clinical trials underway for inherited retinal diseases, visit www.clinicaltrials.gov. The site lists comprehensive information about relevant trials, including contacts. From the NOPBC via nfb.org, Journal of Blindness Innovation and Research. The Journal of Blindness Innovation and Research is the first scholarly journal created by blind people, designed to address the real problems of blindness. An open-access, online-only publication, JBIR is interdisciplinary and international in scope. Its primary research, reports, scholarly reviews, and opinion pieces are meant to broaden and deepen our understanding of best practices for increasing the independence, self-respect, self-determination, and potential of the blind. JBIR is not a medical journal and does not intend to publish information related to the medical aspects of blindness. Relevant topics may include, but are not limited to, bullet points, education and rehabilitation of the blind, innovations related to Braille and the use of Braille, techniques and tools for independent movement and travel by the blind, development of innovative technological approaches, findings that can affect advocacy-related efforts, analysis of data sets providing descriptive information about the blind, innovative practices in preparing professionals and paraprofessionals to work with the blind. The last couple of issues have only been annual. Previous to 2021, they were semi-annual issues. JBIR article submission process. JBIR strives to be a welcoming and rich environment for authors to publish their content. Those interested in submitting an article should review the JBIR author guidelines and editorial policies prior to making a submission. Manuscripts must be submitted using our online submission form. Questions can be directed to the managing editor, Luann Blake. JBIR Peer Reviewer Registration Form. The editorial staff at JBIR are seeking individuals with expertise in all fields related to blindness, except for the medical, to serve as peer reviewers. If you would like to serve as a JBIR peer reviewer, please complete and submit our Journal of Blindness, Innovation, and Research, JBIR, Peer Reviewer Registration Form. Editorial Team. Associate Editors. Edward C. Bell, Ph.D., Director, Professional Development and Research Institute on Blindness, Louisiana Tech University, United States. Nazanin M. Heydarian, H-E-Y-D-A-R-I-A-N, Ph.D., Assistant Professor, University of Texas, Rio Grande Valley. Managing Editor, Luann Blake, J.D., National Federation of the Blind, United States. For more information, JBIR is available online and through our NFB Newsline program. Read back issues online by visiting the JBIR archive. Questions about JBIR should be directed to Luann Blake, JBIR Managing Editor at lblake@nfb.org. The Journal of Blindness Innovation and Research is copyright 2023 to the National Federation of the Blind, ISSN:2155-2894. Lastly, I found a link to lssproducts.com when I was looking for new developments in assistive tech about LSS. LS&S serves the needs of the visually impaired and hard of hearing, and has been doing so for nearly 38 years. We have grown to be one of the largest providers in the U.S. of low vision aids, magnifiers, assistive technology, and amplifying products for one reason: our focus on the customer. LS&S is a family-run business that is responsive to customers, active in the industry, and rewarding for people who involved with the company. What you'll experience at LS&S: products that make a difference. We select our products to provide and enhance independence, safety, and confidence. We are always looking for new and innovating products, and we carefully evaluate them for performance, quality, and value. If you have a product that you would like to see us carry, please contact us. Meaningful customer service. We have knowledgeable and helpful customer service representatives to assist you with any questions about our products and services. We can also assist with product usage and instructions. Many e-commerce sites boast about customer service while simply dropping shipping a product to you at higher prices, rarely taking the time to properly assist you, the buyer. Customer service at LS&S means taking the time to listen to consumers and buyers. We understand the challenges with low vision and blindness, and you'll find friendly and patient assistance at LS&S ready to try because you try. Who we serve: consumers and caregivers. Maintaining an independent lifestyle requires a positive attitude, creativity, and certainly a little tenacity. LS&S is here to help. We offer products and advice that improve confidence, safety, independence, and accessibility. You'll find daily living aids to help manage your activities, magnifiers and CCTVs to read more effectively, and amplified telephones and assistive listening devices to understand conversations. We'll take the time to listen, we'll take the time to instruct, and we'll be here if you need to process your return if the product did not meet your needs. We are happy to help the person needing the product, as well as adult children helping out a parent. Request the catalog, give us a call, talk to us. You'll appreciate our service, and you'll be glad you're on the path to independence. Institutional markets. We serve organizations in the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, and most of Europe. Veterans Administration. LS&S has served the needs of the VA and our veterans as long as the company has been in operation. We hold two FSS contracts, V-797-D-30212 for low vision aids and V-797-D-30079 for mobility canes. State agencies. LS&S is big enough to serve, yet small enough to care. If it isn't hard enough, states require agencies to do more with less, creating the need for responsive partners, and LS&S can help you meet that challenge. From large volume requirements to that last minute order, you'll find LS&S has competitive prices, adept order processing, expert product knowledge, and attentive after-sale support. There are further details about their work with educators, not-for-profits, assistive living and independent living centers, eye care professionals, audiologists, and resellers. It was an interesting little website. They have a complete catalog of products that they sell, but there are no stars on any of their reviews because there are no reviews. So I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of Vision News. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us 919-832-5138. 919-832-5138. So long until next week.